Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the passage from Luke offers some cautionary words to those of us who are preaching and might touch on a proverbial third rail. I presume that you will not drive me over a cliff if you don't like what I have to say. And that's it for Luke for the moment, because I want to focus on the passage from 1 Corinthians. So I'm getting old enough that I can now say things like, there were classic movies from the late 20th century. And if you're a film buff, you may disagree with whether these are classic movies or greats, but they seem to have rooted themselves in the cultural zeitgeist. So of course, today being Groundhog Day, the famous movie from 1997, I believe, or 93, with Bill Murray is going to be playing on cable all day long. Another movie that you may remember back from the 80s was The Princess Bride. And I'm going to do my pathetic imitation of one of the characters now, and then I'm going to lead into the quote. Wallace Shawn said, "That's inconceivable." You remember that? And you remember Inigo Montoya, who was played by young Mandy Patinkin, countered and said, "I do not think it means what you think it means." And that's repeated in the movie. So why am I quoting this to you? Well, there are words that we use in certain ways that don't mean what we think they mean. And I remember seeing a greeting card many years ago that had this quote from Corinthians on the front about love never ending, and that faith, hope, and love abide, and of these three, the greatest is love. It's a good sentiment. But it was on a romance card. And this quote was attributed to Anonymous. Now, first of all, we know who said that. Paul wrote those words. He may not be seen as an avatar of love and romance. He's got a pretty crusty reputation, but he said these words. And if they did not know that Paul said those words, he was not anonymous, he was unknown. Think about that. We often use words without knowing what they really mean. So this is where I'm going to jump on a third rail. I won't stay there that long. And if you disagree with me about this, we can talk after church. But for the record, nobody is committing genocide in Gaza. Nobody. The Israelis are not wiping out the Palestinian people. Yes, there have been a lot of deaths. And yes, you may take issue with Israeli military strategy. But if the Israelis wanted to wipe out the Palestinians, they could have done that. So you're not going to hear me say these words very often from the pulpit. But if the Israelis wanted to, they could nuke the Palestinians. They could kill every single one. And then they could get onto the job in West Bank. They're not doing that. So let's leave this word aside. But using words against people we don't like and redefining them isn't the only way we misuse words. So think about this passage from Corinthians. How do we use the word love? Think about that. We're supposed to love one another. But what is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear that word? Now, I don't know whether this is true, but there's supposedly something like 30 words for snow in the Inuit language. There are multiple words for love in Greek. And so there are words like eros. There are words like phile. There are words like agape. different kinds of love. And Paul was not talking about people getting it on. He wasn't talking about sexual love. He was talking about agape love, the love that God showed us in Jesus Christ. Now, you may wonder, why was Paul writing about all this stuff? The words God and Jesus do not appear in this reading. But you will recall the church loved the church in Corinth. And it was a church that was having problems. It was a church that was listening to false teachers. And it was a church where some people liked to do things that made them look good to others. And it was a church where people were not loving one another. Now, I do not see that here in this church. But we're not perfect. We're not perfect. And we're going to have our annual meeting in a week. And hopefully the conversation will be brief and short. And we'll conduct ourselves with love for one another. And then we'll get on doing the business of the church. But what is the business of the church? Yes, it's holding regular worship. It's also providing a place where our community can gather and meet. It's about feeding the poor and the hungry, welcoming the immigrant and the prisoner. That is what the church is called to do. Not by me, not by some folks out in Cleveland at the denominational offices, but by Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give a shout out to Dawn and her colleagues who last week ran the community dinner. And if you were here for that meal, you enjoyed some great soup. You enjoyed some wonderful fellowship. That was the church doing what the church does. So, am I telling you anything here you don't know? Think about that. If the call to love one another is news to you, either I've not doing my job, or you've not been paying attention, or maybe a combination of the two. But the church is called to love one another. And on a cold day like this, that love can warm our hearts. In a few minutes, we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And we don't administer any tests at the table. I do not think about what your faith life might be when you come to take the elements. I do not ask you if you've traduced somebody, whether you're breaking your vows to your marriage, if you're engaged in any kind of skullduggery. That's not my job. We are all sinners. Each and every one of us. That, along with death and taxes, are the only guarantees in life that we have sinned. We are still welcome at this table. Because when we come forward, it is not to say, I am good, I am holy. But it is to say that I want to be part of God's family. Each and every one of us should want to be part of God's family. You too on Zoom. So let's try to be careful about the words we use. And let's try to be careful about the people we hate. It sounds really obvious, but it's really hard. Someday, we're going to have to figure out how to live together. There's only one planet. There should be enough space on it for each of us. But we like to fight over land and resources. That's not what Jesus called us to do. So if you want to call yourself a Christian, do so only if you're prepared to walk the path of Jesus. And it's not always an easy one to walk. But it is a way of living that will change your life and can change the life of those around you. Would you please join me in a moment of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of Scripture. We thank you for the way it challenges us to think about things. And we think of the way it encourages us to do better. Be with us on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.